the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 4. I haven't got somebody to read it. That means I've got to read it and say these words. Let's go. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah, and with some other men, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, this is Nehemiah, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We'll come on to Nehemiah. I want to ask you to start with a question really today, and it says, do you ever cry in films? Come on, let's have confession time. What films make you cry? Come on, let's hear what films.
The Notebook.
Not seen that one?
E.T.
What? Dirty Dancing.
The Lion King.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Ooh. What was that? Any more?
Bambi.
Oh, yeah, Bambi. What's that? A Dog's Purpose. Don? Everything. He's crying all films. He's just crying films. I'm glad to see. What was that, Lee? Good night, Mr. Tom. Not seen that one, but I hadn't heard it. I'm glad it's not just me, anyway. I'm glad because I'm a bit like that myself. There are certain films, even if I've watched them before, I know that at some point in this film, I'm going to fill up. And maybe a tear will toddle down my cheek. I was thinking which ones I'm talking about. Lassie Come Home. That makes me cry. For some reason, not many people have seen this, but Peggy Sue Got Married. Now, it's an old film that not many people have seen, but I'm not even never sure why that film makes me cry, but it does. There's one film that I should cry in, but I don't. And I've said this before, it's the film Ring of Bright Water. The Ring of Bright Water is a lovely film. It's about an otter called Midge. And in the film, it's all about, you fall in love with this otter, Midge. And he's just a lovely otter, and there's a nice otter, cute otter. And he's got a kind of an owner and all that sort of stuff. And it's a lovely film. And then until near the end of the film, the owner has to go to the city. And Midge is a bit down about this, but he knows the owner's going to come back on the bus from the city. And the bus, Midge is there kind of waiting for the bus, and the bus is coming back along the street. And Midge, this cute little otter that has drawn you into love for the whole film, runs alongside like a channel, alongside the bus. But there's a guy there, and he's just working on the channel. He's doing some... Lead a bit of ministry around that. It still has a play on me even today. So don't watch that film. It's just sort of horrible. But I do want to talk. I do want to talk about a film that I do cry in. Another film. I want to talk about a film that I do cry in today, and it's the film. Some of you have seen it. Some of you might not. It's the film called Field of Dreams. Who's seen Field of Dreams? Quite a few of you. Field of Dreams stars Kevin Costner, and he plays a farmer called Ray Kinsella, who lives with his wife and his daughter in Iowa in America. After hearing, get this is the storyline, after hearing a whispering voice, he builds a baseball field in the middle of his cornfields, and they attracts ghosts of famous baseball players gone by to play on it. Now, if you've never seen that film, that sounds a bit weird as a storyline. And it is, but I'm going to show you the trailer. All right, so here's the trailer. Might give you a little bit more of an idea. It's been around a number of years, that film. A good film, and it's one of these films that I've watched a few times. I watched again recently, and it kind of sparked when it's my conversation today. Our Bible base today is Nehemiah, okay, the reading that we just read a little bit earlier. Nehemiah in the Bible comes at a time in the Old Testament when some of God's people are still in exile, but there's a remnant of God's people are still back in their home of Jerusalem. Nehemiah gets the news, that's what we read about today, that the walls of Jerusalem are broken. And at this news, Nehemiah gets really upset and he even weeps. In the story of Nehemiah, it's a story of vision, it's a story of passion, it's a story of a heart desire on this guy, Nehemiah. It's a story of obedience and faith. It's a story of strategy, opposition, bringing people together to work together. It's a story of victory. It's a story of purpose fulfilled. The story of Nehemiah is really good. And here he is in our Bible, new Bible course manuals. There he is, Nehemiah. And it tells us just a little bit about him. It tells us where he slots into the whole big God story. So you think, oh, Nehemiah, where does he come into the God story? If we're on the Bible course, we'll find out exactly where he fits on and what God's doing in that place. That's why I encourage people to come on the Bible course. Nehemiah, great story. And I want to use that base as a base as well to the talk. But back to the film, Field of Dreams. So the first thing is, what happens in this film is that Kevin Costner's character hears this whispering voice. And the whispering voice says to him this, if you build it, he will come. In the film, Ray realizes that it's about building a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield. Hence the film title, Field of Dreams. At this stage in the film, he can't see, he doesn't know the bigger picture of what is going to happen. But yet he follows this whisper in real obedience. And when I kind of thought about that, when I saw the film again recently, I thought, isn't that how often God works? Well, it is in my experience. What I mean by that is, isn't it God will often just give us the first step of a journey? He will just give us the first part of the jigsaw. And then we're encouraged to take a step of faith, to take a step of obedience. Certainly that's over the years, my experience of God calling us on in our lives. For us, as we start this new academic year, might we just ask the question again? What is our vision? What is our purpose? What are our dreams? What might God, through the Holy Spirit, be whispering to us as individuals and as a church community? What is God saying to us? Might we ask the question again? What church does God want us to build here at Chadderton Community Church? As we start this new academic year together, what is that? How do we think about that? What is God calling us onto? What does he want us to build here? What's the vision for us? What's the dream? Do we have those as part of our fellowship, as part of God's people together? I hope we do. But I think as we start this new academic year, it's worth pausing. When I kind of thought about that myself, I just wrote down a few things. I want us to be vibrant. I want us to have Bible-based discipleship in our church. I want us to have encounter worship. I want us to be a loving and a supportive community. I want us as a church to have a passion for the lost. I want us to be a praying church, a generous church, a serving church, a kingdom-building church, a God-honoring church, all those things. I understand there has to be some padding on that. What does that look like? What does that mean? But having that sense of this is who we are as God Church. This is what we want to build here at Chadderton Community Church. This little part of God's big universal church. What do we want? What is God calling us on to be? In the film, it's a bit, it's this crazy idea that this guy Ray Kinsella gets as he hears this whisper, if you build it, he will come. A crazy idea to build a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield. He's a farmer. And it feels like a crazy idea, and it is a crazy idea. And maybe for us, God's got some crazy ideas. Maybe he wants us to do some stuff that we can't even imagine at the moment. But God's got this vision for us and this dream for us, some crazy ideas to step out in different ways. But also alongside that, sometimes God just says, keep doing what you're doing. But just keep doing it to the best. But we need to ask the question. And I'm pretty certain whatever the answer is, it won't be easy. Because in the film, as Ray builds this baseball field in his cornfield where the corn usually grows, because of that, his farm faces bankruptcy. Because obviously he's destroyed his crops to build a baseball field. And he's meant to have these corn crops that he's going to sell. And because he's built a baseball field, the crops are not there. His farm faces this kind of bankruptcy. And then there's opposition, particularly from his brother-in-law. And he's like, why are you doing it? You shouldn't be doing it. Those that haven't heard the whisper, those that can't see what he's trying to do. And there's this kind of opposition that goes on. And in the story of Nehemiah too, Nehemiah, as he starts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he faces real intense opposition, even though he's trying to follow what he knows God is calling him to do. It's not easy. And it won't be for us in some ways. When we build God's kingdom together, when we build the church that God wants us to be, we know that for us there will be opposition. It won't always be easy. Opposition comes, especially as you step into the promises and the vision and the dreams that God has put on us. And in all this, I wrote these words. I wrote words like that I think we're going to need. We're going to need obedience. We're going to need faith. We're going to need commitment. We're going to need dedication. We're going to need resilience. We're going to need perseverance. We're going to need to ask God for all that stuff as he leads us into this new year with plans and purposes and I hope visions and dreams. Crazy ideas, or even just to be faithful in the things that we're doing now. I pray God will instill that stuff in us. If you build it, he will come. But as the film moves on a little bit, there is a second whisper that this guy, Kevin Costner's character, Ray, and he gets his second whisper. And the whisper says to him, ease his pain. Ease his pain. As the film carries on, there's that second whisper, ease his pain. Eventually, actually, we discover that this relates to to Ray's relationship with his dad. And actually, this is the bit that eventually makes me cry. When you see this, what happened, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you what happens. For those that have not seen it, you'll have to try and find it on video or DVD or YouTube, whatever, I don't know. But when this eases pain in the end, when the first gets the voice, you don't know what it means, but eventually we realize it's to do with Ray and his dad and this relationship of the past. And when that unfolds, that's the bit I just fill up. It's just a moment. You know, in the story of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem was also partly to do with God healing. God healing of his people who had been carried off into exile. And as Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem and got people together and created a strategy and a vision around rebuilding the walls, it was to do with God healing the people who had been hurt and had been carried off into exile and damaged. And what God was doing was restoring them through this process and healing them through this process as they rebuilt these walls. I believe that we need to be a church which is a place of healing and restoration for people. You know, God is interested in all people and in all ways and all different aspects of our lives. And I believe we have a healing God. And our church needs to be a place of healing and restoration as we step forward into this new academic year. I believe God wants to heal in the body, in the mind, and in the spirit. He wants to heal in the body, in the physical. We still have to be a church that believes in and prays for physical healing, following the example of Jesus. I believe God wants to heal people. We want to see that in our church more and more, physically healings taking place, because we're following the example of Jesus, who was a physical healing example to us. But also, we have to be a healing church of the mind, of our emotions. We recognize that in society today, perhaps more than ever, there are so many people struggling with things like anxiety and worry and hurt and depression and loss of identity, battles with mental health and addiction. And again, I think we have to be a church which offers healing prayer through the Holy Spirit into these areas of people's lives. Yeah, I'm not against stuff like medication and counseling and support and all things that people can get which help that process sometimes. But as a church, we also need to be a praying church for people that struggle with some of these emotional, mental health issues that society is creating and pushing into our lives. Because we believe that God can do amazing things and heal in people's lives. We believe that God can heal the physical. I believe that God can heal the emotional. But also we have the spirit or the soul, this other side of us. Ultimately, the healing of the soul is found in salvation through Jesus Christ. It's through a person's repentance and forgiveness and love and restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And you know what? Every person on this planet needs that. If they're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, they need the healing of the spirit and the soul by knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that He's the only one that can restore us and heal us and forgive us in our spirit, because that's who we were created to be. But also as a church, we recognize the ongoing battle with sin and taking a spiritual healing journey more towards being like Christ and more towards being holy in our lives. Church has to be a place of healing, knowing that God ultimately can ease his, her, our, my, your pain. Ease his pain. As we build church and as we seek that vision of what God is asking us to build here, what that might look like for us and how we might be obedient in that, part of it has to be building a place of healing and restoration for people who come and for people who we want to draw in and for people who are outside who you're going to witness to and be an example to. If you build it, he will come, ease his pain. And the third whisper in this film for Ray Consilla is he gets these words, go the distance. Go the distance. In the film, Ray is told by this whispering voice to go the distance. Still unsure at that point, the end purpose. Still facing opposition. It's a voice to him about keeping going. It's a voice to him about overcoming pain, overcoming. And again, there's those words like dedication and commitment and perseverance that sort of fuel Ray as he goes, as he tries to work out what does it mean to go the distance. He wants to keep going amidst all the uncertainty and the opposition and what is going on here. Go the distance, the voice tells him. In the end, of course, it's Hollywood. It all works out. Purpose is fulfilled. You know, but for all of us here today, there is a godly voice. A godly voice that says to us, keep going. Keep your faith all the way to heaven. And those words again, like dedication and commitment and perseverance. You know, recently I listened to a talk by Priscilla, I think she's called Shira. Some of you will know she's a Christian speaker. She was in The War Room, for those that watched the movie. And I listened to a talk by her, and she was talking about a Category 2 hurricane named Ike that had hit America a few years ago. And she talked about a small, very nice beachside town with about 200 homes that found itself in the path of this hurricane. She showed a picture of the devastation caused with every house, every store, every building flattened by the hurricane. Everyone except one. In this picture of this hurricane and this town totally destroyed, every building it seemed had gone, every house had flattened it, but there was one that still remained in the middle. She went on to talk about Christian people who she knew who had started the journey to go the distance. But as she looked back over the years, she saw that only a few had lasted. There were only a few that were still standing. Her challenge through the message was to build our house to remain, to build our house to stay. And I think that's a message for the church, but also for us church individually as well. You know, over the years of ministry, I've come to realize it's not really the big storms of life that flatten people, that take people away from their faith. And we seem to think that. We think people fall away from faith when something big happens. And that will sort of flatten them, and that takes them away from God. So we think that, you know, sometimes when there's a death of a loved one, perhaps, or a broken relationship, or a job loss, a big thing. And over the years, now obviously at times, there are those things that can sometimes, they can, you know, a Christian can be walking the Christian walk, trying to go the distance, and something like that happens, and yeah, they can be taken out. I've seen it. But generally, to be honest with you, and I think people think that's the general time that happened, I find in those times that's not the case. In fact, often I find in those times a lot of people's faith are made stronger. If I'm honest, my experience is what takes people out from going the distance is the gentle breeze. And that's the illustration with the feathers, really, that I tried to do earlier on. You know? Because I don't think it is the kind of the big thing that comes along and flattens everybody. It's just those little gentle breezes that slowly push people to the edge, slowly knock people off. I've seen it here in church. You know, a Christian full of God and serving God in the church. And you know what happened? Their son started playing football on a Sunday morning and said, oh, I can't come to church for a few weeks because I've got to take my son to football on a Sunday morning. And it was like, never came to church again. The gentle breeze. You know, I've seen people, you know, someone who came to our church who sat through many, many, many sermons. As far as we know, kept coming, so enjoyed church and enjoyed sermon. They heard one sermon they disagreed with. Don't come anymore. Went to visit them, didn't agree with that sermon. Okay. But what about all the good ones, well, the ones you did agree with? But it was a gentle breeze. It wasn't a heavy thing. Devastating, though, they don't come to church anymore. I've seen people just have a change of job, or their job hours change. And it just affects their connection with the church. And it's like a gentle breeze, and it just takes them out. I've seen people just, that's right, the summer, I find the summer difficult. I've seen people just step away from church for a couple of weeks. Might be for good reasons. You know, I've got to go to my cousin's 20th party, I've had a couple of weeks holiday. And they just never come back. They just don't get. They step out of a habit, a good habit of being in fellowship. And for some reason, just stepping out for a few weeks, and they struggle to get back because the battle's on. It's not the devastation. It's not the big thing that's coming. Wham! It's the gentle breath of the enemy who's just breathed them and pushed them off to the edge. See it all the time. Devastating. Priscilla, in a talk, said this: I am no longer impressed with the famous, but I am with the faithful. The consistent people who have stood the course of time and honored God with their lives. You know, and there are some here today that are in that place, that you have stood, and the breezes come, and sometimes the big hurricanes come, but you are still here, and you are still by your lives trying to honor God. And I want to honor you today. Thank you. You know who you are. For years you've stayed true. You've stayed faithful. You're not famous, but you are faithful. And I thank you for that, for your commitment, for your dedication, for your faithfulness to just keep going the distance. And I want to be like that, and I'm not there yet. 56, aren't I, Emma? When she says, how old are you, Dad? You're old. 56. I've got to keep going. I'm hoping I've got quite a few more years left. That's my prayer anyway. So I'm not there yet, because the gentle breeze will still come and try and knock me. And I want to keep going that right to the end, right to heaven's gates, when I meet Jesus, when I meet Peter. I want to keep going. That's what we want to build. We want to build a church that has vision and passion, dreams, God-led whispers that's taken us on a journey. We want to build a church which eases the pain of the world in which we live in today, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And we want to be a church which stays, which goes the distance, that's aware that we're in a battle, that there'll be times when it won't be easy, but we keep going right to the end as a church and as individuals who we're responsible for in the end, ourselves. You know, as I finish with this, recently there was a 3-part documentary, some of you might have seen it, on Band-Aid. Did you see that on the telly? There was a 3-part documentary on Band-Aid. So, you know, Band-Aid happened in, it was 1984, I think. Let me go right, I've got it down here. So, Band-Aid started when Bob Geldof from the Boomtown Rats, he watched, like many of us at the time, the heartbreaking news of the famine in Ethiopia. And the 3-part documentary talks about what happened from that point. And for Bob Geldof, the first thing he did is he got all his bandmates together and he made that record, didn't he? Feed the World, you know? Feed the World, Christmas, number one. And he got all these band members together and it was a bit chaotic and he created this record that got to number one and raised money. And it wasn't enough for him, and in the end he went on to have this concert. There was one concert in at Wembley, and there was one concert in America kind of happening simultaneously over 24 hours. All the top artists across the got, you know, pop artists of the time and all that gave their time. And many of you have watched it, gone back to them. Now you probably were watching it on the telly when it happened. And it raised lots of money again. And it goes along over things of other projects, other things that he did, and how Band-Aid still even has its ripples of work that it did today. And there was opposition. He faced opposition. People said he couldn't be doing it. It wasn't going to happen and all that kind of stuff. But what you couldn't ignore is the heart of Bob Geldof, the passion of Bob Geldof, the desire in him, the determination to build something that would make a difference. Ultimately, to save lives. Got to be us, hasn't it, as a church? All right, I'm not going to set a concert up and some of that. But, you know, this film, Field of Dreams, for us it has to be about a church of dreams. That hears the voice of God, that's obedient to his call, to the vision that he's set upon us, individually and as collectively, to be a church of healing in this world and to save lives for eternity. But it's going to need each of us to say, yeah, well, I'm up for that and I'm in for that. And I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to go for that, because that, I believe that's what God wants for us and wants for me. Because I'm conscious there's going to be opposition. And there might be some hurricanes, but there'll be a lot of breezes that will come to try and take us out. And I pray that that doesn't happen, that we stay strong, and we go the distance and we honour God right to the end. I hope we're up for that as we start this new academic year. I pray that that's my prayer and your prayer and we work that out together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll respond through communion today. I always think, what song do we sing? I was tempted, really tempted, to sing the song to you, I Dreamed a Dream. I did think if I did that, that would probably make a few people cry, but not for the right reasons. So we're not going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables. We're going to sing Be Thou My Vision, that great hymn of proclamation. Let's stand.